Hey, all you groovy guys, gals, and space cadets, peace, love, dove, this is Wing Dickerson from KRUD Radio, and you're listening to the Mason World Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, episode 39.
You can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you
listening to the MasonWorld.com Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast with your host, Mark Mason, building internet businesses one night at a time.
All right. Shout out there to Wink Dinkerson from KRUD Radio. That's one of my old crazy voices from when I was in high school. I was a speech, drama, and debate geek in high school. In fact, this may come as a shock to you. I lettered in debate, which is kind of geeky. Not football, mind you, not soccer, debate. Yeah, and I was offered a scholarship to college for debate. I don't even know if you know that they have these things, but yeah, they're debate scholarships, and I did that, and it was fun. I really miss it sometimes. I like to argue with people, so there you go. So, hey, thanks for tuning in. I'm actually on my way out the door. I've got a flight to, I guess, first to L.A., then to Hong Kong, and then on to Taiwan, then to Singapore here in a little bit. So I'm trying to get this in the can before I get on the airplane, and I'll probably edit it on the way out to L.A. and try and upload it in the L.A. airport from the Admirals Club there, flying American Airlines, hoping very much that my seat doesn't come loose and all this kind of crazy stuff that's been going on with American. I love American Airlines. They're a Dallas-based company. They've always taken very good care of me. I know they're having all kinds of crazy labor things going on and finance things going on, but I love them. I've flown millions of miles. Well, maybe not millions, but hundreds of thousands of miles with American Airlines, and I hope this all goes okay. I love going to Asia. I love Singapore particularly. I think it's one of the coolest places to go in the world. It's shopping on steroids. It's an amazing little island country that is just crammed full of interesting people, all very nice, and I'm looking forward to doing that. So today I wanted to talk to you about some things that have been going on, and one of the things that I've been doing may not sound quite related in the beginning, but I guess the big affiliate marketing thing I want to get across to you today is I want to talk to you about my own personal fitness. Now, for those of you that listen to either Pat Flynn, if you follow him, or you've been listening to Cliff Ravenscraft, the podcast Answer Man, you know that those guys and I are in a death match over this device called a Fitbit. Now, a Fitbit is a really cool piece of technology. It's basically a pedometer. It counts your steps. It's considerably more sophisticated than that. It's electronic. It wirelessly communicates with a base station, and it can upload your steps. Now, one of the things that I've been trying to do is get down from my weight of, you know, kind of 235, 240 pounds down to around 200. I'd actually like to get underneath that, maybe 190. So I've been trying to do this, and one of the cool things about the Fitbit is you can count your steps during the day. It gets you to be more active. It's a, you know, eat less, move more kind of device, and it works on the move more piece. And it's real motivating. You can earn badges and compete with your friends, and that's the interesting part that we've been doing with Pat and some of us over on Facebook have been talking about this competition between us that you can do on Fitbit.com. And basically the idea is that you can friend each other. And if you know, you can see how many steps your friends are walking and try and beat them. Cliff and Pat are just out of control. I don't know how. I mean, Cliff was like, he's had over 100,000 steps in the last week, which is just amazing. So shout out to Cliff. But the thing I wanted to point out to you is this is an affiliate marketing podcast, right? Not a fitness podcast. One of the things that Cliff did is he wrote a really good, helpful article over at GSPN.TV. His network is the Generally Speaking Production Network, and he has many episodes of many different shows over there. I think he's done over 3,000 podcast episodes in his career. Podcast Answer Man is only one of them. But what he did was, a lot of times what he does, as I do, is he shows glimpses into his life. And if you go over to gspn.tv, the gspn.tv/Fitbit, that's F-I-T-B-I-T, what you'll see is an article there by Cliff of that's all about why he loves the Fitbit. And then, of course, on Facebook, he's been talking about all this fun we've been having with the Fitbit, kind of like I'm talking about it now. He mentioned it on his podcast. And you'll notice that in that Fitbit article, all about why the Fitbit is great, he's got some affiliate links to the Fitbit. Now, to me, this is sort of the highest form of affiliate marketing. It's what affiliate marketing ought to be. Now, it's often not, but it's what it ought to be. Basically, what's going on here is Cliff is road testing this $100 product so that people can understand what the product is all about and not have to use their hard-earned money to test this product. So Cliff uses the product. He gets value out of it. He talks about what he likes about the product. If there's something that he doesn't like about the product, which I haven't heard him mention yet, he'll probably tell him that too. That's the way Cliff rolls. And then at the end of the day, people can get excited about the product and buy it through Cliff's link. It helps people. It adds value to them. And it helps Cliff because he gets a commission from the sale. So to me, that's really what affiliate marketing should be about. It should be about affiliate marketers helping people make buying decisions, adding value into the purchasing process. So I think with your affiliate marketing, you can do exactly the same thing. I can't think of any reason that you can't find products in your niche that you believe in, talk about those products, promote them, maybe even make relationships with the manufacturer, get discounts for your audiences in some cases, all these kind of things that add value into the affiliate marketing process. And as I've mentioned before, one of the things that you can do to really help your people that are following you, to whom you're trying to market affiliate products, is figure out what the gap is between what the product is and what people need and fill that gap. So for the case of Cliff, he might write a short report that was 42 ways to use your Fitbit, or maybe 7 ways to get the most out of your Fitbit. And he could just simply say something like, hey, if you decide to buy a Fitbit, send me your receipt and I will forward you this free report all about the Fitbit. And, if he was focused on Fitbit marketing, which he's not, but let's say he had a fitness blog, he could require an opt-in for that. When Fitbit came out with new product updates or when there were related products or perhaps software that interface with the Fitbit, he could help keep people informed on that and actually generally try and help them get the most out of their $100 investment. And when you add value to people's lives, then what happens is eventually there's reciprocity takes effect and you can profit from that in a way that allows you to sleep at night. And so I think that's a really important idea. And I love the way Cliff is handling that. And as I say, I think it is basically the highest form of affiliate marketing. You can check that out at gspn.tv/Fitbit. All right, so I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about Facebook. We had some feedback on the Facebook fan page, and actually what we had was not exactly feedback on the fan page, but we had some feedback through Facebook messages, so I want to talk about that a little bit too. I love Facebook. I think it's one of the most awesome things out there. I love interacting with you guys on Facebook. In fact, I'd like to interact with you more. If you've got a question or you want to touch base with me, check me out at masonworld.com/Facebook. But I got this really, I've been having this cool conversation with this guy named Jeffrey, and I absolutely love these kinds of conversations with people. The problem is, there are two problems really with these kind of one-on-one conversations. One is they don't scale. So as the podcast is getting more and more popular, I'm having more and more trouble keeping up with these kind of things, which should make sense to you. I hope it does anyway. I hope you know I love all of you, each and every one of you. But sometimes it's really hard to keep up with these personal conversations. That doesn't mean I don't love them. In fact, if I could do something, if I could pick the one piece of this that I really like the most, it's answering people's questions. And I've been trying to drive the show more and more in that direction. We'll continue to do that. But the problem with Facebook is I am terrible about actually finding these Facebook emails, whatever they call this Facebook inbox, where you can essentially send somebody a private message on Facebook. I hate that. Not because of any other reason other than they sit there for a long time. So if you want to get a hold of me, Facebook messaging is not a good way to do it. Your mileage will vary dramatically with that because sometimes I just don't see them. So if you want to get a hold of me, the best way is to write a note on the Facebook fan page. We can have a discussion in public that will help other people. If there's some reason that that doesn't work for you, you should certainly feel free to submit a ticket at masonworld.com/support. And if for some reason you don't like that, you can try and send me an email, and I try to answer each and every one of those at mark@masonworld.com. It doesn't always happen, but, give it a try. And then finally, if you're a phone kind of person, you can call my voicemail feedback hotline at 214-444-8655. So enough on feedback, but that's, if I ever don't answer you, never take it personally. That just means you got buried in the landslide of stuff that happens around in my life and around the podcast. And just keep trying. I'm usually not offended by polite persistence. Okay, so back to Jeffrey, in the Facebook feedback. He says, "Hey, Mark, I've been hearing a lot about Web 2.0 backlinks, but I don't really understand them. I searched the web trying to find more information, but so far I'm not digging what I found. Can you help me?" So, and then he goes on to ask me a question about Cornsheller, which we'll get into in just a sec. So let me say generally about Web 2.0 links. I think, one of the things that's definitely true is that Google has recognized that the web has changed from this Web 1.0 thing where there were static websites out there that created links into other websites and they counted those links. They've recognized a change from that to this thing that we call Web 2.0. And I think, to me, what Web 2.0 has come to mean is things on the web that are interactive. Facebook is definitely an example of Web 2.0. Twitter, Tumblr, all of these kind of Squidoo, all of these kind of things where regular people can put up interactive properties on the internet and create their own presence without actually building what I think of as a traditional one-way communication static website. Even WordPress in its ability to be updated dynamically and to handle commenting is a really good example of Web 2.0. So generally, to me, Web 2.0 backlinks, which still are, Google is recognized have some value. That can really mean three things. I think there are basically three kinds of Web 2.0 links that you can go to. One type of Web 2.0 link that's very popular is links from Web 2.0 content like Squidoo articles or Blogspot blogs or other places where you can create quickly essentially a small website on an authority Web 2.0 location, and you can link back to your own site. Now, one of the things that this is really good for, I think a lot of times by themselves, those links aren't all that valuable. But one of the strategies that's been employed in the past that I still do and I think still works is to create a really quality page on one of those sites and then drive a bunch of backlinks to that site, sort of insulating your site from looking like it has a bunch of spammy links to it, and sending those links instead to the Squidoo page or something like that. What this does is whatever link juice that you can collect up with those kinds of links, they flow through to the Squidoo page, and then that link juice comes out of the one or two links that you have on the Squidoo page back to your page. You can think of this as kind of a funnel. At the top, the funnel's very wide. You put in all of these links from various sources that really aren't that great to begin with, and that you might worry would alert Google that you were manually building links. Instead of sending those to your page, you send them to a Squidoo page, and then the Squidoo page acts as a funnel down to a few links and passes whatever link juice there is onto your page. So we still see that kind of link pyramid sort of approach working. It's fundamental in strategies like the backlink strategy that actually works over at the Smart Passive Income blog. And I think that's kind of stuff still works. Is it a, you know, one-to-one mathematical relationship that, you know, tells you exactly what's going to happen and whether or not you're going to have a certain ranking? No. But as part of a broad linking strategy that helps you get link juice back to your website, I think that still works pretty well. So that's one kind of web 2.0 link. The other kind that you'll often hear about, or that you used to hear about a lot more, is the link from the web profile pages themselves. So usually whenever you set up an account, like say something like Twitter, one of the things that you need to specify is what your website is. And since there are thousands and thousands of these web 2.0 sites, you can go and create profiles on all these sites, and one of the things you can leave behind in the profile is a link to your blog or website or whatever. I think those have for a long time had very questionable value. This is a lot of what Angela's Links was all about back in the day, for those of you that remember Angela's Links. And you could create thousands of these, and people still do this, and it's fine. I don't know what the real value of that is. I've essentially stopped doing that. Sometimes it gets done for me by accident or cheaply from a Fiverr gig or something like that. But I don't really, you know, because of the way the web, because of the way Google is trying to view this, it doesn't necessarily make sense to me that they would consider that an editorial vote for your content, which is really what they're trying to get after. So is there some effect? I don't actually know. I think probably some small effect is possible. Is it worth the effort? That's not clear to me at all, but that's a second kind of web 2.0 link. The third kind of web 2.0 link that I consider is buzz. So it's definitely true that Google has recognized that social media signals, that is, people talking about your content on the web, on these web 2.0 sites, those links, even though a lot of times they're no follow, certainly are influencing the search engine algorithms. In fact, Matt has come out and said, hey, yeah, we are looking at that kind of stuff. So if you've got a website and it's shared on Twitter 42 bajillion times, obviously people are talking about that thing and it must be important. So it makes sense that Google would look at those kind of web 2.0 backlinks. Now, one of the things that I've experimented with are services like twitterbacklinks.com, where you can actually go buy retweets of your content. So that's kind of interesting. So you can go check that out at twitterbacklinks.com. That company has lots of services like that, and you can check them out. They're kind of interesting, and I've done some experimenting with that kind of stuff. Jeffrey, I hope that helps you. That's an example of web 2.0 backlink stuff that you can add to your overall linking strategy. Again, I still believe that the more you mix this stuff up, you mix up your anchor text, you mix up the places that the links are coming from, you get really solid quality links to your really solid quality link content where you can, and you mix in some of this other kind of links you know, as broadly as you can, so you can compete with everybody else that's doing it. And that's how you, that's the practical way that you rank websites in today's internet. So there was one more comment from Jeffrey. He said he took a look at the Corn Sheller site, saw that it dropped a few spots from the new Google algorithm, and that he was sorry to hear about that. Well, you know, how Corn Sheller ranks depends on what keyword you're looking at and where you're looking at it from, Google, and what sites you've looked at before. Google takes all that into consideration when you look at website rankings. But the keywords that I'm tracking are actually still doing quite well. I'm tracking stuff like antique corn sheller for sale and stuff like that. The Corn Sheller site is still ranking really well for those keywords. I'm actually seeing traffic flat to up, which is great. I don't think I've been really affected by this stuff at all. There was a little dip that Jeffrey's talking about. I don't know why I keep saying Jeremy. Sorry, Jeffrey. That Jeffrey's talking about, and that went away. The traffic came right back, and it was just a small dip. Anyway, it definitely looked like a trend when you looked at the data, but seems to be okay now. And the site is on track to make another $40 this month. And so I can post some of that in the show notes, kind of give you an update on the stats. Again, one of the interesting things is we continue to see that we're sending this traffic to eBay, but people are buying a lot more stuff than just corn shellers. And you can see the category break down there. This is a typical kind of thing that you see on eBay and Amazon. By the way, a lot of people have asked me, and I just recently got another question, how do you make a site like Corn Sheller? And again, the plugin that I'm using for that is a plugin called PHP Bay, and you can find that at masonworld.com/PHPBAY, PHPBAY, all lowercase. Of course, that's an affiliate link, but if you'd like to support the show, that's a great way to do that, and you're more than welcome to buy that either way. I appreciate the support there. So, Jeffrey, I hope that answers your question and helps you out a little bit. If you've got any more questions, feel free to contact me on the Facebook fan page at masonworld.com/Facebook, or, of course, on the feedback hotline at masonworld.com/feedback. All right. Well, hey, you know, it's getting close to flight time for me. I wanted to tell you about this other podcast that I heard this weekend. Oftentimes I search on iTunes and I look for other internet marketing podcasts. And if you're looking for something different, I was really surprised to find a podcast that I hadn't found before, which is called the SEO. It's the SEO podcast. They claim to be the number one internet marketing podcast on the internet, certainly the number one SEO podcast on the internet. I hadn't heard of this podcast before, so the idea that they're the number one internet marketing podcast on the internet, I don't know how they're counting that and whether they think they're beating Pat Flynn and Jeremy and Jason over Internet Business Mastery or not, but these guys are really interesting in the sense that they're kind of street, you know, they're gangsta. It's kind of like a gangsta SEO podcast, and they're funny. They've got shtick, and their audio quality is meh, and their shtick is, you know, kind of like it's kind of street gangsta, but I kind of liked it. And, you know, the thing that was interesting to me was in the two episodes that I listened to, their SEO advice was pretty solid. So if you're looking at more content to fill in between my content and, you know, between my episodes, give them a shout out and check them out. Tell them you heard from them from me, and tell them, you know, tell them what you think about their podcast. I think it's pretty interesting. It's certainly a different approach than what we're taking over here at masonworld.com. But they're doing some stuff over there that I really like. And one thing that they do each episode is that they remind you of a tip that they gave you in the previous episode, and they say, hey, you know, this is our actionable tip from the last episode. So it would be me like saying, hey, remember the big tip from episode 38 of the Mason World Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast is that you shouldn't worry about the exact match domain update. Doesn't look like it's a penalty. What you should keep doing is building links. Remember to vary your anchor text and just don't worry about it. Keep on trucking. So they do that kind of thing. I think that's a really great best practice that they're doing, and I want to give them a shout out for that. I definitely plan to just completely steal that from them. So that's what's going on today at masonworld.com. I'm out a little early this week. Like I said, I got to rush off to the airport. I hope that you have an absolutely fantastic week, and I will be talking to you from Asia. Until then, peace out.
Well, hey, you know what that sound means? Another show in the can. Thank you so much for spending your time with me. I really appreciate it. And always remember what I always remember, which is what Zig Ziglar had to say. You can get everything in life that you want by getting other people what they want.
Thank you for listening to the Mason World Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Got some thoughts about today's episode? Drop Mark a line at masonworld.com or call his digital feedback line at 214-444-8655. Most of all, have an awesome day.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you one night at a time.
Today's philosophical question: if a podcast plays in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it still deserve a 5-star review on iTunes?
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet.